Please be seated. Chapter 2 of Luke. It's this familiar story of Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus. Hear about our three kings, our magi, our astrologers, and gold, frankincense, and myrrh. That's actually the story. And those folks actually come later, and the church celebrates that on Epiphany. So the actual giving happens 12 days after Christmas, right? So that's not part of our story. Different point. We start at chapter 2. We start telling this story at chapter 2, but the story really begins at chapter 1. So I'm going to do that tonight because it's about Zechariah and Elizabeth. You all like, Zechariah and Elizabeth. And others are like, Zechariah and Elizabeth? Like whoever, Zechariah and Elizabeth Christmas card, right? Or sung a Zechariah and Elizabeth Christmas carol, right? But they're not there. Like we've totally cut it out of the story. But the story is Elizabeth, and they are well along in years. They're an older couple, and good before God, which meant that they took care of widows and orphans, and they were good at welcoming the stranger. It says, and yet they were barren. They didn't have children. And so we know, and we're meant to understand, that there was heartache in there. Things hadn't turned out for them the way that they would have hoped in their life. With real people and real lives where there is heartache. And the story says that Zechariah was a priest and Elizabeth, it was his turn to offer incense in the temple. So he made his way to the temple and the people outside were gathered and up to the presence of God. And he was by himself in there doing this and all of the Lord appeared. And Zechariah was terrified. Are terrified, right? I mean, we're used to these little, you know, yesterday we did the Christmas pageant here, right? People are scared. And I could use an echo. But they're scared, right? And the angel always says, do not be afraid, for your prayers have been answered. And God will give you, he shall fill you with joy and gladness, and the people will rejoice at his birth. After Zechariah got over his initial sense of vision around what was going on and what was being said, you know, the first thing he can stammer out is, well, how can this be? And my wife is an old, well, I mean, she's getting along in years, right? Right? But she was an old lady. She was past the age of childbearing. It was biologically. Zechariah asks, well, how can this be? And the angel says, well, I am Gabriel. I've come to bring you good news. You're going to be mute until the baby is born. And so Zechariah pulls into the waiting crowd who are sitting there praying, and they're astonished that this man can't speak. And he makes his way home to Elizabeth, and he tries to kind of sign what went on, and he makes his way home, and I'm sure he tries to sign to Elizabeth because she gets pregnant. That part about the angel kind of it seems like the angel curses Zechariah for what I think is a very legitimate question. How can this be? There, biologically, this is impossible. How can this be? That's a really good question. And I don't think people should, you know, be punished for having really good questions about things that don't make sense. How did Zechariah experience that? How did he experience not being able to speak? Actually, did he discover something really good in it? Did it allow him to just simply be for a while? And experience the child and wondering and pondering these things. The story then moves to Mary, who's a right betrothed to this guy named Joseph, who's of the house and lineage of David. Old you were back in the day if you were a girl and you were being betrothed to a guy who was probably older than you. I mean, Joseph was. And she's just living her life, and then one day an angel shows up, and Mary is terrified. People are terrified and scared, and the angel says, do not be afraid. Favor with God. And the Holy Spirit will come upon you. You shall call him Jesus, and he shall be called Son of the Most High. And Mary asks a really good question. She says, how can this be? The angel doesn't deal the same way with Mary that the angel dealt with, which also feels unfair to me, but I'm going to let that one go. says is, well, Mary asks, well, how can this be? And the angel says, well, with God all things. Mary says, well, okay, let it be done to me as you have said. I will say yes. And she goes to see her cousin Elizabeth because they're related. And Mary shows up at the door. This woman who's well beyond her years, or who's getting up in her years, right? This older woman who's showing. And there's this young girl who's three women, two ordinary people for whom something, the writer of the story, the writer Luke, is trying to tell us that there is something that these two ordinary people who are stand at the end and outside of what would be the normative spectrum. And the child within Elizabeth leaps out of joy, and Mary sings a song, and hers is in God my Savior. For he has brought the powerful down from their thrones. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has. That's Mary's song. God is up to something beyond our expectation. So she goes back home. Elizabeth gives birth. Mary is there actually long enough for Elizabeth to give birth, and then she goes back home. John to the temple to circumcise him, because that's what you do when you're Jewish. You get circumcised when you're 8 days old. The people are like, well, what should we name him? And Elizabeth is like, John. And all the men around her are like, well, and so then they go ask Zechariah. And Zechariah kind of signs can speak. And Zechariah bursts into song at that point. By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us, sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and guide our way, guide our feet into the way of peace. God is up to something. That's where our story, in the time of Emperor Augustus, right? The Roman Emperor is probably the most powerful man in the world at that point. People called in the time of Emperor Augustus, during the reign, people are unsure about the exact timing of these things and when did they actually happen. But the point in the empire that it could force people to move, to do this census, would give money to the greatness and power of Rome. That's where Luke sets the beginning. And then he focuses on, and in the midst, you know, of the Son of God, Emperor, making their way from Nazareth to Bethlehem. You have no status in the empire. And they go to this little village to have an inn. I mean, there was no Hilton. There was no, you know, Four Seasons. There was no Trump like there is in Vancouver. To them was this little stable where, I mean, and the text is very brief. It says, and Jesus was born. Like, it's of the story. And then the story shifts. It shifts to this group of shepherds who are out in a field, right? We've just been talking about Rome. We're talking about places. I mean, we're reminded of places of power and prestige and privilege. The scene shifts to these group of guys who take care of sheep. Right? It's as if, you know, the angels decided to appear to the janitors at the Canadian Superstore, Tim Hortons, right? Or the overnight caregivers at the care home. These are just ordinary who don't expect to be outstanding in any way, shape, any significant meaning whatsoever. And the moment that the angel Gabriel appears to these shepherds in the middle of the night, and they're terrified, counter angels, right? They're terrified. And the angel says, do not be afraid. Good news of great joy. And all of a sudden, the glory of God, and the shepherd sees something that is almost impossible to see. Singing, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, people, human beings. And then suddenly, sky returns, and the shepherds are sitting there standing. And I think that's one of the most curious moments of the story. What do you bridge dude, right? Who doesn't expect anything to happen to you in life. And all of a sudden, this weird thing happened. Yeah, it must have been something we ate. I imagine them saying, how can this be? Because their world has just been, something happened that they didn't expect to happen. A small little town like that, small little village, hamlet really, to find a newborn baby. And I imagine they kneel at the manger and they look into the face and I think they see the tender mercy of God. They're filled with a sense that they matter. And the glory of the Lord shines upon them, rejoicing. And Mary pondered in her heart.